Amen. Genesis 2, 4, and 5. Guys, put that on. Genesis 2, 4, and 5. Now, Genesis 2 sometimes confuses atheists. But I don't want that to confuse you. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 looks like two different accounts of creation. It's not. It's one of the same. Chapter 1 is the summary, quick summary of creation. Chapter 2 gives more details of what happened in the creation. Okay? Don't be confused. It's so simple. Chapter 1 is the summary. Chapter 2 is the details. So let's read the details. This is the history of heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Next verse. Before any plant of the field was in the earth, and before any herb of the field was grown. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to tilt the ground. Watch this. Let me give you a principle. God stopped the progress of growth on the earth because there was no man to manage and take care of the earth. The principle is this. If there's no management, if there's no dominion, God stops the growth. Imagine symphony. All these people are talented people, but there is no conductor. What happens to that symphony? Falls apart. It stops growing. Amen? Watch this. Let me give you guys this principle. This is big. If there's no management, God stops growth. Whatever you mismanage in your life will stop growing. I'm guaranteeing you this. Do you know why you don't have enough money? Because you mismanaged the money that you did have. Do you know why you don't have any friends? Hope you do, but if some of you don't, because you used your friends and nobody wants to hang out with you anymore. You always forget your wallet. Every time we go to a restaurant, I'm not going to a restaurant with you. All right? Do you know why you don't have a job? You mismanaged. Maybe you were late all the time. Maybe you left early. Maybe you didn't do a good job. Maybe you didn't take care of what you were supposed to do. Maybe you complained a lot. You know why your car maybe is not running? Because you didn't change oil. That's mismanagement. Whatever you mismanage stops growing. If we don't have good managers in our church stops growing. We could be the most spiritual church there is, but if we don't have good management in the church, and we need man to rise up and become good managers, stops growing. God showed me a vision when we started this church. I was praying this prayer, I still pray it, and I was praying, God, grow our church. We want to see thousands of people saved. And I saw a vision, and in that vision, I was fishing on a dock. It was a bright, sunny day. Good weather. I was fishing, and suddenly, out of nowhere, fish started falling from the ground, from heaven. Fish about 24 inches, perfect fish, not too small, not too big, you know. And so I was like, "What is this?" And I yelled to the guys who were helping me. I said, "Guys, come on, let's gather this fish into the coolers." We had this, you know, coolers, right, with ice in them, and we had only two. And in like 5 seconds, we filled two coolers. You know, you can only fit so many fish in a cooler. And then I was like, what do I do with the rest? And these fish is like flapping on the dock. And they're drying up. And they're almost dying. And I said, what should I do, Lord? I asked this in my dream. What should I do? And the Lord said, throw them back. You can't handle it. If you gather the grain and you don't have enough silos to put the grain in, it's going to go ruin. See, many times we ask God, and he says this, I won't give you more than you can handle. That could work in a good way and a bad way too. That principle works the same in a good, when you want something, and when you don't want something. God, I just can't handle this anymore. God says, I won't give you more than you can handle. And he said, God, give me more. And he says, I'm sorry, you can't handle it. So you can't have it, you know. It's like, amen. So note, if you manage well, it begins to grow. If you mismanage it, you will lose it. Guys, begin to control, manage your money well. Especially if you're young, you got to learn how to manage your money well. It's not about making more money, it's about managing what you have. Amen. How do I know where to dominate? That's the next question. We were created to dominate the earth in the area of our giftings. Notice this. Men were not created to dominate over women. Nowhere in that verse in the Bible it says that men should dominate over women. It's part of the curse. When we dominate each other, it's part of the curse. It's not part of God's plan. Slavery first started with slavery to sin. And then people who were perverted began to use slavery and made it normal. Like today, we make certain things normal. Bible says homosexuality, it's wrong, but we say what? It's okay, it's okay. And eventually we make it so normal that everybody will be like, yeah, it's normal. But that's how slavery came into existence. Because we said it was okay, it was okay, it was okay. And eventually the whole society, the whole human society said, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. Men were not created to dominate over other people. Men were not created to dominate over women. We were created to dominate in the area of our giftings. Hallelujah. Could somebody say amen?
It's amen.
Oh. Write this down, man. Put it on your heart. Put it in your mind. Put it on your heart. You were not created to dominate over men, over women. And women, you were not created to dominate over men. No. Hallelujah. I'm preaching good, I think, but I know it's tough. I'm not expecting a loud amen. That's okay. The key in life is to find the area of your gifting, and that becomes a place of your dominion. You know, basketball players, what do? They dominate on the court. Football players dominate on the football field. Let me give you more. Builders dominate in the house market. Cleaning people dominate the cleaning business. Musicians dominate the stage. Business people dominate business world. Producers dominate behind the scenes. You were created to lead, to dominate. It's not something you hope you got or not, man. You were created. Male, you were created to be the foundation. You were created to lead. Amen? I have two daughters now. And I would hate for some loser to come and start dominating my daughter. I would hate it if he were. I'm going to bring my guns when he comes on a date and comes to pick her up. I'm going to lay them around me and say, listen, I'm going to save a bullet from each one of these. If you touch my daughter, if you do something to my daughter. Guys, that's the worst. Remember, two relationships, two women. Either she's your wife or she's your sister. Would you do that to your sister? No, I don't think so. All right? So, if she's not your wife, she's your sister. Every male was born to dominate. Guys, you know we feel good when we dominate? Do you know men who lose their job a lot of times go into depression? Because men were created to work. We find pleasure in our work. And that's a good thing. You were created to have dominion. That's part of God's creation in your life. Men want to be successful. Men want to compete and win. That's who we are. Amen. You were created to have dominion, but not over other human beings. Our dominion is at the place of our assignment. You know what dominion means? It means more than a job. Some of you come and work as a job. But you know what? If you want to have dominion, you have to take it seriously more than a job. You take it as a place of your fulfillment, as a place of your succeeding. Don't just come to work and say, I did my 8 hours and I left early and I came late, I left early, I took an hour lunch in 15 minutes. No, that's not dominating. That's barely doing it. God wants you to dominate. Guys, and let me tell you this, if you don't dominate, your wife will begin to dominate. Because women were created to be what? Helpers, right? And if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a vision, she's going to find her own plan and her own vision. And then she doesn't need you, right? God created women to help. When I first got married, before I got married, I told my wife what we're going to do. I don't know how I knew. I was 20 years old, young guy. I said, honey, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be in business, and we're going to be in ministry. And we're going to be tithers, and we're not going to have any credit cards. That was my only thing. That's my vision. Some days we're going to be successful. Someday we're going to be successful. Very successful. You know what? She's been helping me ever since. I tried to push her on stage and say, baby, you need to preach for me on this Eve series. And she's like, oh no, I'll do the behind the scenes, but I don't want to be on a stage. I'm fine just supporting you and helping you. If you don't have a plan, and women love guys with a plan. They love a guy who knows where he's going, what he's doing, what's his purpose. Then she can support him and help him. I remember I told Tanya my vision from God. I said, Tanya, I feel like God is going to give us a big church. We're going to have 1,000 people church and all that. 2 years later, nothing happened. And I got depressed and I said, I don't think I heard from God. And guess what she did? She said, no, you did hear from God. God is going to give you what He promised. Otherwise, I don't know. Do you hear from God or don't you? Okay? So women were created. I stole this one. I got to give it to you. I heard this one. I read these books about male. And in one of those books, they said women were created to be incubators. Guy, if you put a seed in a woman, she'll give it life, incubate it, grow it, and give it back to you what? A baby, right? If you give a word to a woman, she'll keep it, give life to it, incubate it, and give you a sentence. A lone one, right? See, guys, God wants us to receive that vision from Him. What does He want us to do? Give it to a woman. And there's times when we get depressed and those, you know, vision usually never comes on time, right? We figured that out in less 4 weeks. Guess who our women become? I've had so many times my wife said, you can do it. Don't you dare give up. Don't follow your feelings. Live by faith. And I'm sometimes, oh God, I don't think it's going to work. And she said, and she was there giving me support. She believes in this vision. And it's both of us now. It's not just my vision, it's her vision too. She incubated it. And now I feel sometimes she's stronger in faith than I am. I'm like, where is this coming from? I'm supposed to... Can't do it by yourself. You need a helper. Helper doesn't mean she's lower than you. She's exactly equal to you. She has the same spirit. President Obama has helpers called cabinet members. Are they lower than him? No, they're sometimes even smarter people than he is. They advise him, they help him. Your wife could be wiser, smarter than you are. Most of the time they are. But that doesn't mean you should say, I'll be passive and let you do everything, honey. No, I'll take responsibility. Can I preach for a few more minutes? I feel like this is the core group here. Can I preach a little bit more? It's snowing up there. It's slushy. You don't want to get up there. You want to be here. You don't want to get out there. We got coffee after this. So, we're, amen. No football anymore. So, nothing to watch. This is the best show in town. Hallelujah. Amen. You could stop for now. I'm going to preach a little bit more. If you have to leave, you can go. But I got three more points. Okay. Point number three. Placed in the Garden of Eden. Placed in the Garden of Eden. What was the purpose for that? Genesis 2:8. Let's put that in. Put that up. And Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there He put a man whom He had formed. Now that's important. Men were created for Eden. Keep that verse in the, up there. What is Eden? See, sometimes we call Eden the Garden of Eden. No, garden was a different thing. Eden was before the garden. Let's read it again. The Lord God planted the garden eastward in Eden. So Eden had to exist before the garden was planted. What does that mean? What is Eden? You want to know what Hebrew Eden means? It means presence. God planted a garden in the presence. Whose presence? His presence. He planted a garden there and then He put a man in there. Let me ask you this. Before you create fish, what do you have? What do you must have? Water. Before you create plants, what must you have? Soil. Before God put man in Eden, he created a garden and he created Eden. Meaning, guys, you were created for the presence of God. Satan lied to men. He said only women should raise hands in church. Only women should worship God. That's a lie of the devil. Fish, when you take it out of the water, it malfunctions and dies. Birds, if you cut their wings, they malfunction and die. Man, if you take a man out of Eden, out of the presence of God, he malfunctions and things start going wrong in his life and he dies, maybe not physically, but spiritually. Man, you were created for Eden. That's why devil hates for you to worship God. That's why devil hates for you to raise your hands up to worship him. You were created for the presence of God. Four, and one more after that. First task that God gave Adam was work. Genesis 2:15. Watch this. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in a garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. Another translation says to protect it. To work. Notice before God gave man Eve, before he gave him a family, two things he gave him. He gave him his presence and he gave him work. Your job, your work is not a curse, it's a blessing. Your work came to you before the fall. Chapter 3 is the fall, right? What is this chapter? 2. So your work is a blessing. It's the way God releases his blessing into your life. A lot of times we say, God, open your windows of heaven and pour up the blessing. And God does. But work is like a tube. Have you ever been at the bank and you were outside in a drive-thru and there was this tube where the money came in? Right? See, the same thing. Our work is the tube through which our God blesses us. So when you pray, God, open the windows of heaven, he does, and that money falls somewhere, but just one out of 8 billion, it could be you. It's worse than a lottery, right? So you must have work as a tube, as a pipe that God pours his blessing out on you. Amen? Work is a good thing. You were created for work. Never hate your work. Say, I love my job. That's what you should be saying. And watch how you get raised up. Work is a good thing. Young guys, if you should have two jobs if you have to. You should work hard. Ladies, if a man comes to you and says, you know, I want to date you and I love you or whatever, say, what do you do? What's your plan? What's your vision? See, a lot of women want to know, do you love me? Do you love me? Really? Love in that beginning stages is not love yet. Right? It's just what? And lust and an ecstasy a little bit of chemistry. Love grows over time. So you see, 3 months they were married and they were so in love. He was carrying her on his shoulders. And now he hates her and wants to divorce her just as hard, as much as she. See, you need to ask him, what do you do? What's your plan? Now, if I'm going to follow you, ladies, say that. If I'm going to follow you, I need to see it in writing. Are you going to be in college? Are you going to get a job? Are you going to be a businessman? Are you going to work hard in construction? Or are you going to be a teacher? Are you going to be a doctor, a lawyer? What are you going to be? Why should I follow you? See, guys, watch this. If you don't have a plan, women will find their own plan, and they should. They should. But then you live in two lives. She's doing her thing. She got her friend, her banking account. He's living his life. He's got his friends, his hobbies. And before you know it, they're like, we grew apart. And then what happens to the kids? They become a statistic. I'm being tough right now, and I'm taking my time today because this is so important. This series is going to change your life. You better bring some people. And I'm not going to be as tough on women because, you know. But guys, I can feel like I can get away with this a little bit. Jesus had a job. I'm here to do my Father's work and finish his business. I'm here to do my Father's business. Today I work, tomorrow I work, and the third day I will finish it. Jesus, he says, my Father works and I work. God worked 6 days and he rested for one day, but now he works again. Jesus said, God works. God is not sitting on a throne seeing who he can punish. No, he works. He creates these universes. I don't know what he does, but he's very creative. And you were made in his image, so you are creative too. Just begin to open it up a little bit. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Work is not a curse. It's a blessing. Take away a job from a man, his work, and he malfunctions. When men lose jobs, sometimes they take it really hard. They take it super hard. Okay? So just understand that work is a blessing. Satan knows if he can confuse a man, if he can confuse your sexuality, if he can corrupt you with pornography, if he could distract you and keep you as a boy for too long, he knows that he could destroy your family and he can have your children for many generations to come. He can keep your family in poverty for many generations to come. God's plan is always best. I don't know if anybody taught you this, but this is good. This is good. Remember, man, don't get a big head and say, I'm all that. No, you first character of God is loving. Who is God? You're made in his image, kind. Who is he? That's what we got to be. We got to be loving. And then if somebody disrespects a woman, sucker punch him in the throat if you have to. I don't care. Don't do that. No, you're a Christian, light of the world. But don't you dare disrespect my sister or my wife. Oh, no, nobody got time for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Point number five, and this is the last one, to guard and to keep. I'm only 2 minutes, behind, so I'm good. Genesis 2:15, and we're done. Brooks, you can go now. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. Guarding and protecting is in our DNA, guys. Certain power is given us, not just to, like I said, show off, but to guard and to protect. If you look at God, he's a protector. He says to Satan, you can't touch Job, not unless I allow you to teach him something. But you cannot, Satan cannot touch you unless God, he has to ask God for permission. That's how protective God is of his children. We're not just to protect people, we're to protect their environment. Let's look at that. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. Now guys, listen to me. You were created to protect women, children, weak. Number two, you were created to protect animals and not abuse them. Before Eve ever was created, God said to Adam, take care of the environment. Now, I'm not going liberal on you or anything. I'm going biblical on you. If you change oil in your car and you just dump it somewhere in the grass, that's wrong. If you kick animals, if you torture animals, if you abuse animals, that's a sin. That's malfunctioning. That's being perverse in your mind. Even if you have to kill a mouse, do it in a humane way. Don't torture it. Right? And there are humane ways. Don't you dare kick your dog. Done it, but repented. Whatever you sow, you will reap, even if you sow it into animals. Kick your animal, somebody's going to kick you in the head. Be careful. We got to protect not just humans, environment as well. We are stewards, managers of environment. Before Eve was created, before the family were created, God said, Adam, take care of their environment. I know church sometimes gets a rep that we don't care about environment. This church does. We care about environment. We want to have good place, good air to breathe, trees. We want all that. We want animals to be healthy. Amen. Amen. I see dogs in Honduras, and I was like, oh, man, the back was like this thin, you know? And I'm like, whoa. And they abuse them. They got scars all over. Dogs have scars. Maybe they bite each other, but I don't know. Nothing to eat there and stuff like that. Dogs are just everywhere. I think our nation does a great job in protecting animals. But God says, you got to protect environment. Last point and done. Adam made a huge mistake. He didn't protect Eve. Snake was talking to his wife. Not a big deal, snake talking to your wife. All right. But, he didn't say anything when he heard what the snake was saying. He was weak. Instead of saying to her, snake, you don't talk to my wife like that. You don't tell her to disobey God. You get out of here or I'm going to twist you in so many knots. The Lord God will not untie you. You won't be crawling, you'll be rolling. Right? But what he did, he was watching and he was like, well, I trust her. This is for men and women. We live in a Facebook, email, texting age. And I hear a lot of people create these friends on Facebook. Husbands, men do it, women do it. And the spouse never checks. And before you know it, she's so in love, she can't stop. He's so far gone already, she can't stop. And then everything starts falling apart. I think if you're married, I think you should have passwords to your spouse's checking accounts, to your Facebooks, everything. And don't be lazy enough once in a while to look what's going on. My wife knows all of my passwords. I know her passwords. And if I want to, I can go and check. Now, if you're a middle school girl, don't give your boyfriend your password. He'll go there and find things and then embarrass you. So this is for married people, okay? Passwords are. And you need to look sometimes. Honey, who are you talking to? Who is that person? Oh, that's my ex-boyfriend. I don't think you should be talking to Snake. Snake, I don't think you should be talking Snake to him. Amen. Amen. You shouldn't be talking to her. She's no good. You shouldn't be talking to her. Okay? Because I've seen it. And then people come and then, like, what happened? Well, we reconnected on Facebook. And now I'm just in love with him. I can't stop. I'm going to leave my husband. I'm going to leave my wife because I found my soulmate. No, you just... Those who have nothing to hide, hide nothing. Those who have nothing to hide, hide nothing. Keep it open. And guys, don't be lazy to see. If your wife is addicted. Oh, this one has full power. Okay. All right. God's plan is better for your life. Follow His plan. Guys, go to the Word of God and let it be your mirror so it can tell you what you should look like. And not what the world says what you should look like. Hallelujah. I want to ask you this question. If you were sitting here, and maybe I was talking about man, but the Lord touched your heart. And go ahead, close your eyes and bow your head. If you feel like the Lord is calling you, even through this message, I know it was different, tough, but you feel like you got something today. You understood God's plan. And you're like, wow, it's a good plan. On a count of three, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you walked away from Him, if you're living outside of that presence of Eden, and you want to get back, especially men, if you want to get back to Eden, women too, exactly the same thing. We were created for Eden. If you want to get back to that Eden place, that's a place with God, I want you to raise your hand on a count of three. One, two, three, please raise your hand. One hand, two, three, four, five, six. Keep it up, keep it up. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Say, Jesus, I heard your plan for my life, and I want to follow it. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me for not putting you first in my life. I will follow you from this day on. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for me. Save me, forgive me, and give me a new life. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. Our service has come to an end. Did you enjoy today? Okay, well, hallelujah. Amen. Next week, ladies, I'm going to get you. Be here. It's Eve part. And invite your Eve friends. And we'll see you here next week. We have coffee. We have pastries. Go ahead and stop by at the cafe. Hug about five people. Bless one another in Jesus' name. Membership class is next week. If you're here for the first time, we have a gift for you in the lobby. Go ahead and stop by and receive it in Jesus' name.